1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. After spending a deal of time in prayer, seeking God, I feel like God has put this on my heart. I never preached this before, but I feel like this is for you, especially for you. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. You have your places. Say amen. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Speak. For thy servant heareth. I like to preach tonight, if the Lord be in my helper, on answer the call. Answer the call. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven one more time and ask God to help us here tonight? Father, Master, in the mighty name of your precious Son Jesus, we come before you here. God, we bow our heads in reverence and honor. God, seeking you, Lord God, in this meeting tonight. Lord, would you please open our ears to hear what you have to say. Open our hearts to receive thy word, Lord God. And let there be as little movement as possible, God, that we may hear what you have to say, Father. God, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would touch our hearts. And Lord, that we can answer the call that you are calling us unto tonight, Father. And we ask this in the mighty, precious name of your Son, Jesus. And the church said, amen. Answer the call. The Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Church, young people, the Lord has come tonight. And he stands in this altar. And he calls out unto you tonight. The question is, are you going to answer the call? Are you going to answer that call that he's calling you to? Some of you may not even have come with an expectation to hear God's voice. Some of you may have come for alternative reasons. Some of you young men may have come looking for a young female to talk to. Some of you young females may have come looking for a young man to talk to. I know that they confiscated the cell phones, didn't they, Brother Jim? Woo, come on now. If there's ever going to be a test of sanctification for you young people this week, come on. Not having that cell phone. We may make it through one night, but what about tomorrow? I mean, your fingers get to twitching. Come on now. Feel that arthritis starting to bend that thumb back because you're not getting to use it that much. There's going to be a test of sanctification this week. Some of you may have come looking to get a new phone number so that you could call somebody after this week. But I want to tell you, there's a call going out tonight to you young people. And even to some of you older people, come on, there's a call going out to you. And there's a call of the Lord unto your life. Number one, it's unto salvation. Because if you're not saved and born again tonight, God is calling. He's calling unto you to be saved tonight. He would to God that nobody would leave out of this tabernacle lost. My God, He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to tell you who the first missionary was, Brother Jim. It was Jesus Christ. God sent His Son out of heaven onto a mission work, a mission field unto Jerusalem to save that which was lost. And His Son is here tonight. He's looking for you. He's looking to save tonight. He's looking to call a young person, a young boy, a young girl unto the work of God. My Lord, He may call you unto the ministry. He may call you unto the mission field. He may call you to work and labor in His vineyard. But God has got a call tonight for you. But the question is, are you going to answer it? A lot of times we don't answer the call because we got our mind in some other place. We don't want to come down to the altar because we're worried about wrinkling up our new fancy clothes. Come on now. We're worried about if she's going to see us come down there. We don't want to get embarrassed. Not too fast. Come on now. We're worried about Him seeing us. We don't want to get our hair out of place. Come on now. I know some of you sisters spent a long time in front of that mirror. I asked one sister there earlier today, where's your sister? And she knows what I'm talking about. And she said she's probably back there in the dorm. And she might be resting. Or she might be in that mirror spending a lot of time getting that hair fixed just right. I don't know, Brother Steve, I don't know. But there's a lot of expectations that young people come to the youth camp expecting. But there are some that come with a genuine heart that's looking for a move of God. That's looking for the Holy Ghost to baptize them. How many has not been baptized by the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hands. Raise your hands up. You've not been baptized by the Holy Ghost yet. I want to tell you something tonight. Those that's lifting up your hands in honesty, God can baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Oh, come on now. How many believe it, Mama, Daddy, that your children can get full of the Holy Ghost? Some of our mamas and daddies in here tonight need to get full of the Holy Ghost. Come on now. When's the last time you spoke in tongues in your prayer closet at the house? Come on now. It's easy to get in front of a whole lot of people and just fall into suit with what everybody else is doing. Lift up our hands and feel good and start speaking a little tongues. I mean, the charismatic churches are doing that down the road, but you know it's genuine when you're at your own house and you're praying through and there ain't nobody there listening to you pray, but you and God, and the Holy Ghost comes down, and you get the feeling the glory all around you, and you get the dancing right there in your living room. I'm telling you, I want to answer the call tonight, don't you? I got to thinking about it. That one little thing that we just love so much to tote in our pockets, and some people love to carry them on their side. They like people to see what they got. They like people to see that new thing that they got. You know, I mean, there's a lot of new cell phones coming out. I used to like toting one on my side when it first come out, and it had a little antenna sticking on the side there. And I thought I was cool. Man, I thought I was bad. And I got there in my car. I sat down, and the clip broke. And I got to praying. I said, Lord, You don't want me to carry that on my side, do You? And I feel like for me personally, this is for me personally, that God said, no, I don't want you to, because there's a little air of pride in there. You see what I got? Ooh. Since then, I've been toting it in my pocket, and I ain't had a whole lot of problems since then. There's been a few times I dropped it in water. That's just been some foolish things. Trying to get a picture one time. We was down at St. Augustine's, and I want to tell you a test of sanctification. I was standing there on the pier. We was getting ready to board this boat, and there was a whole crowd of people sitting down behind me. And I got my cell phone out there, right the ocean right there below me, and I took a picture of this boat I was about to get on. And when I took the picture, I was going to send it to a friend, and when I hit send, it slipped out of my hand, hit my foot, and it launched out there into the ocean. And I said, and all of these people are standing behind me, and they're waiting to see what my reaction is. I turned around, and I smiled, didn't I? I smiled. But inside here, I was like, I cannot believe I just did that. I went on that boat ride, Brother Ruiz. And when everybody left that park that day at St. Augustine, we drove to a little gas station. And I used to scuba dive, and I still do. I like it. And I went into a gas station. I bought me some goggles. I bought me a little snorkel. I didn't want to get rid of that phone. I loved that phone. I went back. I snuck into the park, Brother Jim, and I went down. I got in that water. It was kind of getting dark, and I got to snorkeling on down there. I held my breath as long as I could. I can hold it for about a minute, minute and a half, and I went on down there, and as far as I started swimming on down there by that little pier, it just kept getting deeper and deeper and darker and darker, and I got to a place. I was looking around underneath that water. I said, forget it. Oh, I just go back and tell AT&T I need a new phone. I tell you, that was something that I really enjoyed having. The first phone I got was when I got out of Army. I was 23 years old back in 1998, and that was the first time I bought my cell phone. I was 23. We didn't need it before then. My buddy back in 1990, Ryan Rahlstrom, when we was in ninth grade, he had this bag phone. That was the cool end phone back then. Now, how many remember that? Some of y'all weren't even born back then. But that was a cell phone bag, a black leather bag, big old cell phone with a curly wire on the end of it. Plug it up to the cigarette lighter in your car. And he had that thing, but the big thing back in those days was beepers, pagers. Everybody had to have a little beeper, had a pager, you know. But here everybody's got to have cell phones. Everybody's interested in making a call. Everybody's interested in receiving a call. It doesn't matter what we're doing, whether we're on our job, whether we're out shopping, whether we're out in the yard working, or even when we're down praying and we hear that cell phone go off. Woo, we'll stop to answer the call. Hello? We'll stop to check the message. It'll interrupt our life. It'll stop life altogether. It doesn't matter if I'm trying to get a hold of God. It doesn't matter if I'm trying to talk to Him. It doesn't matter if God's trying to talk to me. I'll let this one small obstacle get in my way and hinder me from getting a move of God. Come on now. I want to tell you, church, young people, whatever hindrance you have in your life this week, you need to move it out the way. Hey, it may not be a cell phone. It may be something else. Just move it out the way. Get it out the way so you can hear from God. Because there's a call going out to you young people in this meeting this week. There is a call that you must answer. Woo. Let me see here. Brother Jim, you go help me out. When I was a boy. Come on now. Woo. Now this is a primitive cell phone right here. Come on now. I appreciate Brother Delane hooking this up for me here. Thank you. See if you can hear me here. Let's test this out. Pull tight now. Get tight.
Brother Jim, can you hear me?
All right, let me hear. I want to hear. Okay. All right, I can faintly hear him. I can faintly hear him. When I call, he may be my neighbor, and I can stretch one of these out across my window to his window, and when everybody goes to sleep, I say, hey, Brother Jim, what you doing? Won't you come on out tonight? Let's sneak out tonight. There's a whole lot of things we can do, and he can respond. It's our primitive cell phone. I appreciate that, Brother Jim. I'm just going to set that up here just for a little minute there. Our primitive cell phone, I believe it was around 1983 or so when the first cell phone was used in Chicago as a Motorola cell phone. Before that, back in the late 70s in Japan is where I think the first 23 or 25 cell phone towers popped up, and the big city there in Japan got to using them. I think within 5 years, the entire country of Japan had cell phones. Well, just about the entire country here in America has got a cell phone, and everybody wants to answer that call. Everybody wants to receive it. Doesn't matter if you're with AT&T, Verizon, or the new Straight Talk. That's who I'm with. It's cheaper. Come on now. And it gives you a whole lot more advantages. I like that, especially when you're the one paying the bills and it's not mama and daddy paying the bills. Come on now. Some mama and some daddy shout now. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. I know we're about to move on past the cell phone. And I want to talk to you tonight about a call that God made upon a young boy. I believe it was Josephus, the old historian historian wrote that Samuel was around the age of 12 years old. The same year, Jesus, he was 12 years old when he went into the temple and began to speak unto the doctors and the lawyers and the Pharisees. He was 12. He said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Samuel was a precious boy. I want to tell you why he was precious. Because his mama prayed for him. Come on now. Every year, Hannah and Elkanah, I believe how it's pronounced, Brother Billy Joe, you can help me out there. Every year they would go up to the house of God and they would make sacrifices. Well, Hannah was barren. She didn't have any children. And every time she got to the house of God, she would pray for God to bless her womb. And she just kind of looked like she was just mumbling. Like some of these young girls that take that chapstick and they put it all on there. It's glossy and shiny. I mean, that's just about the same thing as lipstick. Come on now. You don't need that Shikamo shine on your lips. Come on now. Ain't nobody want to see that wet stuff anyways. Throw it away. Put it up. Wipe it off. Forget about it. But she was standing there and her lips was just a moving. And the man of God thought that she was drunk. And he got to inquiring about that. No. No, sir. I'm not drunk as ye suppose. Come on now. It'd do us all good to get a little bit drunk in the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on now. Come on. Get a little bit of that feeling. But she was not drunk, but she was praying in her heart. "God, if you would but bless me with a man child, I will give him to you." Children, I want to tell you why some of you are talented. Be able to get up here on these pianos and the drums and all these guitars and get up here and sing. It's not because you've been to music school or been to your lessons. It's because you had a praying mama and a praying daddy that laid their hands on you even before you was born and said, "God, if you would bless my child that you are giving me, I will give them unto you." Would you bless their hands? Would you bless their talents? Would you bless their voices? Some of you are blessed because mama and daddy was praying for you. Oh, but you think the talent's all in yourself. It's not in yourself. And that's where we fall. And that's where we get in trouble. And that's where a lot of holiness, Pentecostal young people have fallen. And the country music, and have gone, they have erred and gone the wrong way. They've gone the wrong way because they didn't see who the gift giver was. They just saw what it was doing for them. Come on now. There's a call that's going out unto you tonight, young people. There's a call that you must answer. But I want to talk to you about this call here tonight. I brought this little lamp up here for a purpose. I want you to notice this. Listen. Verse number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. "And Er, the lamp of God, went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep." Someone had told me that the word Er meant before. Before the lamp of God went out in the temple. Before the fire went out. Do you want to know what's special about these verses and this time in history right here? Let me tell you, young people, at that time, there was no prophet in the whole land that God could anoint, that God could speak to, that God could use. Eli was an older man, no offense to any of our elder brothers, but his eyes began to wax dim. And his two children, Hophni and Phinehas, they were committing whoredoms, they were committing sin, they were committing vile things in the house of God. It was a time when the land was wicked. It was a time when the church was corrupted. It was a time when things were falling apart. And the fire that was in the house of God was about to go out. It was about to burn out. But God raised up a young man by the name of Samuel. My God, and he called unto the boy Samuel. I want you to notice when he called unto Samuel, Samuel ran to the man of God. He went to the pastor. "You calling me? Here I am. Here am I." "I didn't call you. Go back to bed, boy. Go get back in that bed." He heard it again, "Samuel." He ran back to the man of God. "Here I am I. I didn't call you. Go back to bed." "Samuel." He ran back to the man of God. Here am I. I didn't call you. But he perceived that it was the voice of God. You notice how close the voice of God and the man of God is? Come on now. That's why God gives us pastors. That's why God gives us shepherds to tell us what we need to do. Come on. God puts them in a place above us to where they can see the battle that's coming close unto their flock. My God, he speaks unto the man of God before he'll speak unto you. He'll tell the man of God what the will of God is. He'll confirm it for your life. Young man, young girl, you said, I want to find this girl this week. I want to find this boy this week. But if the man of God said, leave her alone, leave him alone, my God, you better take advice and take heed from the man of God, because he knows what's best for you. He's praying for your soul. But it's so easy to listen to that voice. Come on, listen in the mirror. Ooh, she looks pretty tonight. Look what she's wearing, all colorful, bright and shiny, new clothes. Come on. And there's nothing wrong with having bright, shiny, and new clothes. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But when our fascination is on those things instead of on the one, the true, and the living God, that's when we miss it. That's when we lose out. And Samuel was a man not concerned about what this world was doing. He wasn't concerned about it. He did not let Hophni and Phinehas influence him. He did not let the air, he did not let the dimming eyes of an old man of God influence him, but he was a man that was wholly given unto God. I want to know how many young people is going to be wholly given unto God this week. You know, God may call you tonight. He may call you unto a ministry. Come on now. He may call you unto a mission field. He may call you to evangelize. He may call you to go in the streets. He may call you to teach a Sunday school class. Come on now. He may call you to play an instrument or to sing a song. Whatever God's call is on your life, he may call you to be a prayer warrior. He may call you to open the doors to the house of God. And that's what Samuel did. He was to be the door opener of the house of God. Come on now. My candle is burning down slowly, little by little. Time is a running out. Time is a running out, young people, because each year we're thankful for a new youth camp. But each year is passing and we get older and we get older. I waited till I was 24 years old. Oh, it was, I look back over in my past and I say, man, I wish I would have given my life to the Lord at a whole lot younger age, Brother Jim. But I was 24 years old. I had to go out there and sow my wild oats. When I look back on my past, I wish that I never had went that way. I wish that I never would have done those things, because I want to tell you, young people, there are scars that will ever be imprinted inside of your mind and inside of your heart, regardless of the years of the come, 10 years, 20 years, 30s, the devil will bring those scars back up. He'll remind you, he'll try to defeat you, and he'll cause you to want to give up and quit. But if you answer the call at the age you are at right now, my God, you could pass up every single one of those scars. You'll not have to look back and have regrets anymore. You'll not have to look back and say, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have went there. I wish I would have listened to the man of God. I wish I went to the altar and prayed through. I wish I answered the call. June 19th, 2010 can forevermore be written down in your Bible. I answered the call that God has got for me. Hey, this may not be as fast as you like it, but I'm giving it to you as God's given me. I want to tell you, young people, there's nothing more important. I'm not here to impress you. I'm not here to try to make friends by my preaching, but I'm here to obey God in my preaching, because I'm going to be held accountable on that day of judgment. And I want to tell you something, young people. There is more to life than boyfriends. There is more to life than girlfriends. There is more to life than cell phones. There is more to life than the things this world offers. I want to tell you, Jesus is soon to come, and we need to take heed unto the call. story of a missionary from South Africa by the name of Robert Moffat. Anybody ever heard of him? Scottish missionary. Went to South Africa, dedicated his life to the work there. And he, in a time, pulled back out of the work for just a small period of time. Went back home. And it was an icy winter. He went back to this little church to try to encourage and motivate some people to come to the mission field. He was preaching a message, and he come out of Proverbs 8:4. And his title was, "Unto you, O men, I call." Well, there wasn't no men that come to service that night, only elder women. Come on now. He was a little bit discouraged and a little bit disheartened. He did not take notice that up in the loft, there was a little boy that was helping with the pipe organs, that was listening to what the man of God was preaching. Come on now. That little boy grew up. He went to school. He held on to what he heard that preacher preach. Brother Jim, he went on to medical school, and he moved to Africa, and he became a missionary over there. His name was David Livingston. He died. When he died before, he said, "I want my heart to be buried there in Africa." He was a man at the time, was just a little boy up there helping out with the instruments. Oh, you never would have thought such a little person, oh, it took an interest in what the preacher was preaching. Oh, some of you may look down upon the little guys, but I want to tell you, them little guys are going to grow up to be big guys one day, and they're going to remember how you treated them. They're going to remember how you pushed them down, how you kicked them, how you turned your nose up, how you pushed them away, how you mistreated your little brother and your little sister, just because you didn't want to be embarrassed about them being around. No, you need to embrace them because they love you and they care for you. That's why God has blessed you with siblings. I want to love my siblings, don't you? Come on now, because you don't know who God's going to raise up in your home. Come on now. Woo! I want to answer the call tonight, young person. You need to answer the call. Samuel was promised to God by his mother. He was given to the Lord by his mother. And some of you young people here tonight have been given unto God by your parents. And it's up to you to make the decision. Mama can't drag you up to an altar. My mama used to drag me up to an altar all the time. I grew up in a charismatic church, and every time they had an altar call and I was there at service, she would drag me up into an altar. I'd come down there, I'd pray because mama wanted me to pray. I would even cry because I felt guilty about the sins that I committed. But I would leave out of the house of God and I would do the same things over again. But I want to tell you, in January 12th of the year 2000, when I come into an old-timey church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee, I don't remember what the man of God was preaching that Wednesday night, but I remember there was a spirit drawing me unto an old-timey altar. I heard a call saying, "Russell, I'm calling after you. Russell, I'm calling. Would you come? Would you come?" I want to tell you, I got up out of my seat. I didn't care who was around me. I didn't care what they thought of me. My God, I got up from where I was sitting, and I walked out to an old-fashioned altar, and I prayed through. I answered the call, and I've not given up the call since. I've been walking. I've been times running. I've been at times crawling. I've been at times, oh, Brother Jim, I've asked myself, I've asked God the question, "Why, Lord?" But Brother Jim, I have never turned my back. I have never quit running. I have never given up. I answered the call. And some of you young people need to answer that call tonight. You need to answer the call because you are not promised tomorrow. The Bible, it clearly teaches us that we are not promised tomorrow. Oh, life is but a vapor and it soon fades. The candle, it slowly drops. There's going to be a time that that flame goes out. And that's the way it was in the day of Samuel. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Do you know, not a short period, just a small space of time after that, when God spoke unto Samuel and he told him of the sins and he told him of the problems in the church. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of problems in the churches in America today. I'm not going to take time to go through those with you tonight, but there's a lot of challenges and a lot of problems that this generation is facing. And I want to tell you, we can never face and meet the challenge unless we have the power of God living inside of us to stand up against what this world is falling into. I went today to get my oil changed in my van. I didn't realize how bad it was, how long it had been since I got my oil changed. Normally, I'm an advocate about getting that preventative maintenance stuff taken care of. Come on now. And I got there, and the mechanic, he checked the transmission fluid, and he showed it to me, and it was dark and dirty looking. He said, "When's the last time you changed your transmission fluid?" "It's been a while. Oh, matter of fact, I don't even think I changed it on this vehicle," I told him. And he said, "I really recommend for you to change it." So I said, "All right." So he got to changing it, and they got this machine that pushed in new fluid, and you could see through the clear tube it was red fluid. And out was coming the old black nasty fluid. And they got it in there. I think it was about 14 quarts or so that they pushed through there. And they checked it and showed it to me, wiped it on his hand. It was red before it was black. And I was at the register making my payment, Sister Angel. And he got to talking to me about church. And he said, "My favorite book in the Bible is Ecclesiastes, because it deals with man's relationship to God." And I told him my favorite book in the Bible was Philemon. I said, some people pronounce it Philemon. And I said, I told him, because there was a young slave boy that stole from his master, and he was wound up in jail. And he was there with the Apostle Paul, and Paul got to preaching to him. And that young man by the name of Onesimus got saved. His name meant useless, but when he got saved, it meant useful. Come on now. And Paul told Onesimus, useful, he said, "I've got to send you back to your master." And he sent him with a letter. And in that letter, he said unto his master Philemon, he said, "Whatever he owes you, whatever he's done, you wrong by, he said, I want you to put it on my account." And I said, that's my favorite chapter, because I was a lot like that slave boy. I done committed sin. I done did wrong, Brother Steve. I said, but then I met the master, and his name is Jesus. And all that I did was wrong, he saved me and cleansed me. I answered the call. And I said, remember the transmission fluid, how you pushed in red fluid, and it pushed out the black fluid, and you showed me the red fluid. I said, he can take a sinner's black heart and dip it in the red blood and make it white as snow. He said, man, I like that. Oh, I want to tell you something tonight, church. You can answer the call of God. You can answer the call of salvation. He can take the blackness of your heart and dip it in red blood and make it white as snow. I'm not going to hold you too long tonight. Would you stand all over the house? Brother Walker, if you don't mind coming to maybe get us a song on the piano. Brother Isaac and Sister, y'all have something y'all want to, Sister Bethany? Brother Walker, I think they want to sing something. Come on, Sister Bethany. Young people, tonight can be a monumental place, a milestone in your life. There is an everyday call that God makes unto you, a daily call that affects your moods, your attitudes. It affects your jobs. It affects how you act with your spouse. There's an everyday call. But I want to tell you that everyday call is going to affect your eternal call. There's going to be a day that you stand in judgment before God, and he's going to look and just say, "I called you. Instead of Samuel, Samuel, you put your name there. You put your name there tonight. He's calling unto you, young people, older people, mama, daddy, grandmother, grandfather. He's calling unto you tonight. Would you answer the call? Would you answer the call? There's a time when God calls unto us. But everybody knows Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, God says, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You can call unto God tonight and he'll answer you. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's a call going out to you tonight, young people. There's a call going out to you tonight, sir, ma'am. Whatever your church name is, put it to the side. However long you've been in church, put that to the side. Whoever your mom and daddy is, put that to the side. My God, forget about who you are and think about him. There's a fire burning in the holiness church tonight. And it's not gone out yet. But the devil sure is trying to snuff out. He's trying to do everything he can to put the fire out in the holiness church. I want to tell you something here tonight, young people. You can prevent it from happening. You can change the course of history. My God, he's caused great denominations to fall by the wayside. He's caused their fire to be put out. But don't let them. Let this fire at Broxton be put out, my God in heaven. Don't let them. Let the fire of this youth camp this week be put out. Oh, let it burn. How many want the fire to burn? How many wanted to keep it to burning? Then we must do our part and answer the call. We must do our part and heed the call of God. Would you bow your heads all over the house? Mark 10:49. Blind Bartimaeus, he was by the wayside begging. He heard of Jesus, and he called unto Jesus. Jesus, thou son of Nazareth, have mercy upon me. Jesus, oh, hallelujah, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. They tried to get him to be quiet, but he ignored them. And he called out, Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy unto me. I want to tell you, there was a time when Jesus stopped right in the middle of his tracks and he heard somebody calling unto him, and he looked and he calleth unto blind Bartimaeus. My friend, he came to Jesus. Young person, Jesus is calling you tonight. He's calling you, young girl. He's calling you, young boy. There's a higher work. There's a greater work. There's a more spiritual work that God wants to use you for. But will you heed the call? Will you heed the call? Or will you be like young Elvis Presley, a young Assembly of God, Pentecostal boy? He chose to follow the world and the fashions of the world. And his last song he wrote, I did it my way. In that song he said, now is here and I face the final curtain. The now of your life is here, young person. And you are facing this tonight. What are you going to do with it? The dimness that's taking place in the holiness churches. The fire is soon to go out unless you answer the call. Oh, I can't see. I want to tell you there's a light flickering over here in the corner. There's a light flickering, young person, and you can answer that call. Oh, I want to move closer to the light. I need the light, for when the light goes out, how will I know who to marry? How will I know who to seek after when the light goes out? But there's a light that you must draw closer to. Psalms 119:105 said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Young person, will you answer that call tonight, or will you reject the call? There's three crosses that are hung on the wall behind me. One represents in the middle, mercy. One on either side represents a call. One rejected the call, but one answered the call. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Would you answer that call tonight? Can take